Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Blasters. Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, tell your friends, and without further ado, here's the show. Hello everyone and welcome to Padawan Unlimited, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. I am your host, Gil, and today I am excited to bring you one of my fellow team members, Tyler Mersing. He is a fantastic player, fantastic guy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I know we talked about it. I know I've asked you a couple times in the past, and I'm finally like executing on that plan. For those of you who are listening and don't know who Tyler is, I'm just going to give a brief review of kind of the things that I'm aware of. I mean, he might have accomplished more in his gaming career, but in terms of Star Wars Unlimited, recent accomplishments, for example, he was at SCG Con and it was at Atlanta, right?
Like, yep.
A couple weeks ago, and on the Friday constructed event, he placed top 8, and then on the Sunday you placed top 4 with Jango Tarkin Town deck, and then before that, I know you've been winning stuff like left and right, so I'm not even gonna talk about local stuff. At our recent PQ in Maryland at Games and Stuff, you went undefeated 7-0 in Swiss, and that room was not an easy room to do that in. I mean, there was Lego Pizza was there, Tata was there, a bunch of other dudes that have done really well in previous PQs. So, am I missing anything?
Nope. You know, it's old, you know, presets and stuff like that. Like, you went to SCG Baltimore as well, top 8ed that, you know, made the first Boba Yellow list. But otherwise, yeah, otherwise, it's all recent set 3.
Oh, events. Yeah, you know, I forgot about that. There was a couple of people who shouted out, did a shout out to your Boba Yellow list, at least online, for like they won all their local tournaments with your list. So that was really cool, actually. When I totally forgot about that. That was so cool.
They banned it.
I know. Sorry. So you went to the father, which I think is appropriate, instead of sticking with the son. For the highlight of this video, I really want to talk about like your 7-0 experience and like, but before I even get there, like the foundations. So I think before you even get to a competition, you obviously need to build a deck, right? And so 50 card main deck, 10 card sideboard. And I really just want to go and kind of get through your mindset. Like when you're building a deck, like what goes through your mind when you're selecting cards? Like, I'm assuming like, do you net deck? Do you like craft out your own? Like what's your process like?
I certainly net deck, you know, I try a shell, you know, whatever someone, you know, likes and enjoy. I take that, play a couple games with it, you know, see if I like the idea of the deck first off. Yeah. If I don't like it, then I'll just try something else. If I do like it, then, you know, I'll just take that deck and start playing it, you know, play it more and more. Like, you know, it's exactly what I did for Jango. Played it at a local showdown, you know, got like second at that, but, you know, did weeklies. Like, Jango is nice. And then went into Atlanta with the plan of testing a whole bunch of various different cards and stuff, you know, Imperial Demolisher, Arm to the Teeth, Boba Fett. And so just tried a couple different lists over the, you know, the 3-day events.
Okay.
And, you know, did quite well in the Friday and Sunday one. And, you know, that's how I've, you know, gained my practice and how I, you know, tuned out the choices I made.
Yeah. So you're constantly iterating even throughout the tournament. That's wild. I always assumed that people at that level kind of like this is my game plan, this is my deck, but like you actually changed it from like Friday to Saturday or Friday to Sunday.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't you know, the event was going there, you know, to of course the top 8 just to have names, but I was still also, you know, did not have any games with Jango beforehand, so it's just my time to, you know, here's high level practice, you know, and yeah, just try and grind games.
Yeah. And so you did you have a significant amount of like, and when grinding games like Carabas and Tabletop Simulator with the Jango deck beforehand, or were you pretty much do what you wanted to do, and now it was just a matter of fine tuning at that point?
I'd say no. You know, I don't play too much of Carabas or Tabletop. You know, it's a lot more just, you know, go to events, play in person.
Yeah.
And at the events, I, you know, didn't really know exactly what I wanted to play, and so, you know, kind of just figured it out.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fast. I think that's fascinating because, you know, when I'm reading like some of the discords and people talking about it, they're like, oh, I did 400 games with this guy, or like 1,000 games of Han 1 Yellow. And, you know, some of them are performing really well. Other people don't perform as well.
Whereas like you're doing this like really like tactile approach to it. Like this is the deck. I have this deck. I'm gonna play it like live and like tweak as I'll essentially on the fly, which is, I mean, I think it's kind of fascinating. Did you you've also have like just good mechanics because you've played card games in the past, right?
Yeah, I played Magic before Star Wars.
Okay. Were you on the competitive circuit there as well?
Not this then. I didn't really travel to events like I did Star Wars. For a Magic player, I'm, you know, quite on the newer side because I started in 2019. And, like, all of the, you know, high-level, the kind of stuff we see nowadays for Star Wars, like everyone traveling events, you know, grinding stuff that happened back in, like, 2016 or 2012. And so you don't really see too much of that now. It's a lot more just online play and Magic. But, you know, I didn't really jump to it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay, so you did some experience, but yeah, that's funny that 2019 is young, because I forget, like, Magic came out in, like, 1994.
Yeah, it's an old game, 30 years. I say young because, you know, I play, you know, Magic has these things called formats where it breaks up the game and, you know, based on how far back in history you go in playing, you know, we'll see what Star Wars does in the future. I know we're going to hear of, you know, I know, like, with a recent stream coming later this, at the end of this month, you know, we'll see maybe if there's going to be different formats or sets or however FFG does. But I played in Magic, you know, the oldest one. So, you know, it uses every single card you're allowed with a small ban list. And, you know, the players in that, you know, have played 10, 20 years, you know, so compared to everyone else, you know, even a couple years is just a baby. Yeah. So
I'm excited for some of the new set stuff. I mean, I already saw like the little like serial, like they're going to rotate the cards. It's there. And no base is going to be over 49 health in the future. So that's good. Based on the future proofing of the new product. Okay. So let's move on. I guess we'll move on to kind of like your tournament play, right? So you are able. So even let's talk even before I get to the most recent PQ experience at SCG Con, you did 3 days straight of, I'm assuming, 7 to 10 hour days, right? Like, how did you keep your mind straight? I mean, that's a lot of games. You know what I mean? Like,
You know, it's at least from you know, playing for a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff. You go in, you play the round. And I kind of, you know, at least for me, I sit there and I try to have like a mental lockdown where all I'm thinking about is the game, you know, the turn, the actions. And afterwards, you know, whether I win or lose, I'll have like, you know, small satisfaction or small dissatisfaction. You know, I don't try to really dwell on it. I kind of shut down. I'll feel, you know, happy or sad at the end. When everything's said and done, you know, too many times to be like, oh, you're killing it. And then you go and bomb out, you know, immediately. Which happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, you just kind of just, at least I just sit there and lock in, you know?
How, so if I can dig into that, like, how? And here's what I mean. Here's what I mean. Because, like, me, I know I get tilted. I could say that I can remain calm and I'll smile the entire time. Like, I'm a generally happy guy. But, like, if I lose specifically, or, like, if there's I misplayed or something, like, I'm just, like, I get, like, upset. And I get in this weird headspace. Like, did you train to do that? Or that's, like, how your brain works. Like, you just, like, the locking in.
I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, it's not trained or thing. I think it's definitely just something I'm used to. But, you know, I kind of really don't think about, you know, the emotional aspects until afterwards. Like, of course, you know, I'm still new. I get massive anxiety, you know, and stress before the event. And I'm sitting there, like, even for, you know, the whole recently of Baltimore, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, each round, like, oh, you know, I won this round. You know, I'm sitting here between each round, like, feeling an anxiety just building up. And I'm just, like, trying to block everything out, focus on, like, you know, the little needle in front of my face, you know, just try to, you know, lock down. But
yeah,
it's just more of just like forcing myself to do it, you know.
Yeah. So you don't drink, like, you don't like drink caffeine or anything to help calm you down. You're, it's just like a mental state that you, like, a flow state you just stay in.
Yeah. You know, okay. I guess the closest thing I can compare it to is, you know, I like to read a lot, and so I'm able to very, this is a lot longer than cardio. You know, I sit there, I can isolate myself while reading a book. I get very invested into one thing. So I guess, you know, my mind does a similar state, you know, in Star Wars, where I sit there and I just get fully invested. You know, I block around, you know, everything around me, you know, everything. My ears are cut off. Everything's, I'm just focused on the match.
Yeah. Summary of the story is, everyone, if you want to get good at card gaming, read. Because because it helps you lock in. No, but no, I see what you're saying though. That is, I like that mentality. I wish I could do that more. It's something I think I just need to practice. I'm too emotional of a dude. But you also play like really fast too. Like you're making decisions very quickly. How like is that trained too, or like
Yeah,
because.
I would say that's more of a train thing. I play fast, coming from other card games and from Magic, it's kind of a fast thing. But I'd like to say, I kind of do things on like autopilot, where like I'll go and I have a set series of actions or things I'm trying to expect out of the game. Like with Django, I know what the cards in my hands do, and so when I draw them, I know what kind of roles I have for them, and so
Okay.
I'm playing for those roles in the game. So it's like, ISP agent, classic, it's whether, all right, if they start the turn one, I have to sit and decide whether I want to do ISP agent first to try to kill the unit, target town it, and you go and you play, 20 games of doing that, where you have ISP in your opening hand, all right, play this, kill this, and see what happens. And
Yeah.
I find, like it's an idea where I haven't really liked that, I kind of think I want to save the ISP, play a different aggressive card, because if you just play ISP on its own without a Greedo, you sit there and you're not doing any damage at all, and so you kind of feel bad, you're behind, target town didn't do anything, you waste everything. But I save it, I play a two drop like Kylos Tai, a Crafty Smuggler, and get swinging first, and then on the three and four resource turns you put in the ISB, and now you just apply pressure while also stopping them. And
Yeah.
so it's like two different avenues,
Okay.
but you first play out one avenue a whole bunch and see what happens. If I'm doing these actions a whole bunch and something bad's happening, I'm losing games doing this kind of stuff, then it's like, the kind of thing like, all right, I should try doing it something differently. And so
Yeah.
I get into every game and it's like, everything's gonna be new, but I know what the general guidelines of my deck are gonna be. Same idea of like with Han, you're trying to do the tech DJ, you
Yeah.
like, all right, do I force tech DJ against this thing every time? Is this what I'm trying to do? Then you try to you autopilot that play and see what happens. But it's
Okay.
just a lot of try to think of navigation in a car. I'm trying to sit there and get to find the best route.
Yeah.
And if I keep going on that route and there's like issues and pitfalls and stuff that I'm falling into, then I'm like, all right, let's try a different route, And
Yeah.
that's just like the idea of like finding lines with a deck. Once you have an understanding of what you're playing, it'll, at least for me, it comes more quickly of like, I'm just kind of doing lines. I know exactly how I want to do my game plan. I'm going right off the checklist of things that I want my hand to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. For sure, like with the lines and having a almost like a playbook on specific things. I think for me, and I'm sure other players do this. Like I get in bad habits very quickly, and if I don't know or learn the right habit first, then I know that I'm gonna keep forcing things that don't necessarily need to be forced within the game. Whereas like you're kind of adapting in that, feeling the vibes, I'll say, at the
Yeah.
moment, and then if it doesn't work, you know what to do next time.
Yeah.
So do you actually also in preparation, right? Do you also like study the cards within the sets, or like you do you just like whenever it pops up, that's when you learn it within the game?
I know all the cards in the current meta game, like
Okay.
I don't know if it's a crazy thing, but like I kind of know like what every deck has access to and is playing. And so I understand, things like that. You do like the quick research, like I could tell you probably every, card and utility piece that Han, double yellow has, or
Yeah.
like this kind of stuff, which is really good because, I'll be able to like try to dissect like, all right, Cunning, Waylay, Cantina Bouncer, here's all the interaction cards, like what if he has one of these cards here, how can I get messed up? But it also classic thing where, you can't really know everything. So you kind
Yeah.
of sit down, and your opponent's playing Boba 2 yellow. It's like, okay, yeah, never seen someone play this. I can, kind of know what the colors and aspects are. I can guess what maybe cards he's playing, but I have no idea if it's a mid-range slow
Yeah.
deck, if it's a fast aggro deck. You just kind of adapt, in the fly.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fair. I know that there's at least one other team member on McClunky that I know like actually studies all the cards. So I
Yep.
was curious if you did the same thing, but it sounds like you generally know all the relevant meta cards and thematically what all the other aspects do, but like realistically it's like I think that's probably just too much information to try to ingest.
Yeah,
for the card
I'm
game.
less of a, the mathematic calculative guy. I don't sit there and think of percentage numbers of like, what he has like this percentage to have this card. I just build a feeling for it. I guess it's insight, kind of thing. Like, I train my general feeling for how I want the games to go. And so when I'm in a familiar environment, it works well. But I'm in an unfamiliar environment, then, I can start to struggle.
Well, I think honestly, that's for especially for new players, newer players like myself, which is especially in card games. I was always under the assumption that a lot of like top players, like they are playing like 1,000 games, that they are for like a deck, not even just like in general, like 1,000 per deck, and they're researching every card and memorizing all this stuff like massively. But it's good to hear that like you can actually go by a little feel in that sense, just know. Generally, a lot of this information, you could still perform really well at a high level, which is something that I think you've been doing. So kind of going into, so now let's go into the, I guess the Maryland PQ. I don't know if I want to make you regale like all the games, right? But you went through 7 rounds. You didn't scoop at the last at the 7th game, which I know some people actually do when they're 6-1, when they're already 6-0. So you played it out. What was your like thought process in the beginning of the tournament? I guess we'll start there. Were you like, all right, just one game, and I guess there's bubble yellow, like let's just take this. What was your mental state like going in?
It's just it's kind of like shut everything down, focus in the moment, take one step at a time. I sit down round one, unfamiliar opponent, sit it, he pulls out Boba two yellow, set two Boba, and I'm like, all right, I have no idea what's gonna happen, no idea how it's gonna play out. And just you play cards, in a sense where it's an unfamiliar situation. I'm playing Django. So I kind of just take like, all right, I'm gonna spend game one just trying to throw straight at your base and see what happens. Can you stop aggression? And game one, he didn't. He could not. So I'm like, all right, game two, I'll do the same thing. Just throw thing. Lean into the aggressive side. Don't worry about too much about, trying to control the aggro deck and be like, all right, let's see what happens. And both games, 2-0. Very similar thing. It's definitely just more of just, probably an opponent on a lesser experience level, and so he wasn't really prepared for, my kind of stuff. So.
Did you do you find yourself like if you see so you let's say you win game one pretty handily. If that happens on a regular basis, and I'm gonna assume it does, do you actually sideboard to make the game more favorable, or like do you just stick with the deck until like you like unless you lose game two and then you sideboard and stuff?
No, I definitely sideboard, after every game, whether win or lose. It really depends on the cards in sideboard, and like for the matchup itself. So, I'm sitting there. I've played all of game one, and I kind of know, what he's in. My Django sideboard currently has three Force Chokes, two Disabling Fang Fighters, two Palpatines. Trying to think of the other cards. Two Wolves, and the third no good to me dead. And so. Boba 2 Yellow, he would just play, kind of like mid range, slash, cards. Not too many of the classic Sabine aggro cards. So I'm sitting here like, all right, he's gonna be on the slower side, trying to do maybe like resupply and get out faster. Maybe has a Boba's armor, because Boba 2 comes out as I believe a six cost, if I remember correctly. I wasn't too worried about Boba's two armor. So I'm thinking, all right, I don't care for Disabling Fang Fighter. The only other upgrade you can play is entrenched or not entrenched. It's the five cost green card. It's like treasonous. I can't remember thing. It just takes control of a three cost unit. You like gain control of it.
Oh, like traitorous?
Yeah, traitorous. There you go. Right. Names are gonna elude me, but so yeah, like that's the other thing I could expect him to play for that. If he plays it in game two, then I can see boarding in, Disabling Fang Fighters to defeat it. But I'm not going to, board him in the blind, thinking that he could play it. He's playing a lot of ground units, so I'm like, all right, Force Chokes, they seem like a given. He plays any kind of 3-5, ground units, it's, easy to deal with. I could bring in Force Chokes. And then I'm, thinking, Wolves are for control, we don't care. Palps are for control, we don't care. Just trying to go like no good. You want to bring it in for leaders that have, effective, and also for like bigger costier units, if you want to shut that down.
Yeah.
Typically, I bring it in like for the faster decks and stuff like that for more tempo plays. So I don't really care to that. So I'm just sitting essentially all I care about is force chokes,
Yeah.
trying to like remember, exactly how the games play out, but that's really like there. And so I'm just, all right, what things in my main deck do I not care about? I can take out force chokes, like is there anything in that matchup that I, don't like? The first given I kind of do is, Lurking Tie Phantom. If the opponent shows that they're playing, Bright Hopes, which I think he was, or like, heavy, if they play heavy answers to Lurking Tie, I'd rather I board them out, let my opponent board in more stuff that hates on that, and I'll just,
Go the other way.
they'll sit there and have to play around the fan, the thing that's in their head, It's a
Yeah.
classic thing for like, I'll do it against like Anakin decks and stuff like that when they bring in a whole bunch of perilous positions or a whole bunch of more like space sentinels, and then I just like have ground units instead. It's like, all right, completely just dodge your play. But
Yeah, that's funny. I don't even think I never don't I don't think I've ever thought about like, oh, okay, they think this is happening, so let me just go the other way with my sideboard and like just mess with them. That's like a that's like 4D chess right there. See, that's high level play. That's higher level play than what I'm doing now. So appreciate that insight. So for I guess like for all the other games, like 2 through 6 or whatever, I'm gonna assume they got progressively harder because of everyone's getting better. But when you were playing, if they were unfamiliar decks, for example, is your strat was your mentality is like, okay, my deck is meant to be aggressive, so I'm just gonna be aggressive game one and just see what happens, and
yeah.
then adjust game two, three, or whatever.
If it's an unfamiliar, deck and setup, and I have no idea what they could possibly be on, like a Boba to Yellow. If
Yeah.
it's like a fringe, like kind of like, played in a meta deck, then I won't like do too much like that. Like a good example is, like round 7, I played against Kira ECL, which,
Oh, yeah.
for any player that's played, only recently, quite recently, like set 3, you'll be like, ah, oh, what's Kira ECL? I've never seen it before because it was like, set 1 and set 2 was the, the green, blue, black, ECL decks where it's like the soft control, piles. So,
Yeah.
I have the experience of that. I know, the kind of flows that they're trying to do. They want to do, Super Laser Technician ramp and then start hitting things like, Avenger and Vader and stuff like that. So typically an early aggressive line will play well. I try to think of, all right, what cards in their deck, are going to possibly, if they could be playing, it could be a problem. The first thing you think about in Django is like, all right, Sentinels, because I'm an aggro deck. What Sentinels can they play? So, those colors, they could play Black Sun Starfighter, the 3-cost, villainy ship Sentinel, the 3/2. It's like, okay, Daring Raid. If so, if I keep the in my head and save daring raids for that effect, because if they go and spend 3 resources on that, I just daring raid it. It's like, all right, cool, waste of time. Or ground units, they could be on a Childson build. Typically, if it's on ECL, they won't be on Childson.
Right.
If it's on a 30 health, they'll be Childson. So these are the kind of things I'm thinking about in the game and as the game progresses, just what my opponents could have and how can I play around it.
Right. You have to kind of have some foresight within the cards or within the game, especially turn or action by action, turn by turn. So, was there a specific time within the tournament? So at the tournament at Maryland, where you were like, how do I want to phrase this? Like where it was like this is a turning point. Like, oh, I think I got this. Or were you ever like you were just like no. You always assumed that you were gonna lose or something like that. Like, was there ever a turn where you got like really confident? I know you.
Like in a specific match or in, like the whole theme of the event, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna.
The whole theme of the event. Because it was there. I know you know your general state is like I need to just focus in on like one game at a time kind of deal. But like, was there a point where you're like I think I got this? But then like, did you temper it? Right, so that we didn't get overconfident, anything
Yeah,
like that.
round 1, game 1. I win and beat the first guy, the first game. I'll be like, ah, oh, easy. I'm gonna win this event 100%, I always will think that. Of course it'll get bigger and it'll get better. I'm seeing, round 4 and 5, you're at 5-0 and it's like, all right, now I just have to win the one of the next 2 games, And it's like, all right, I only need to be X and 1 to lock in top 8, It's like, all right, now I'm 6-0. All right, I'm locked. Easy, and I'm chilling, waiting for top 8. That kind of stuff. But, a lot of cases because like, I kind of have a lot more of a tempered, environment, no matter how well Swiss and stuff goes, everything will can always change very quickly. Like I had a lot of experience of this, and like back in set one when showdowns were the only thing that people played.
Yeah.
I went to a lot of those. I did like 8 to 10 showdowns just trying to get the Mace Windu because that's all I care. I was like, I want to earn one champion promo, and it took me like 10 events before I could get my first one. And I had
Wow.
so many like close calls, so many events. Like I was on like Boba ECL, back then,
Yeah.
so it was very good at the beginning of the game. Everyone thought it was the best deck, and then when people adapted to it, it became not the best deck, and it became it kept falling down. And when we had showdowns, which was the close to the end of set one, a lot of people liked Boba Yellow, and Boba ECL had a very good matchup into Boba Yellow. We go to a showdown, with another fellow team member, Sean. He was on Boba Yellow, and there was like four other people also playing Boba Yellow. In like the I think the six, 5 or 6 rounds of Swiss, I played four Boba Yellows and swept them all, as you would. And then you get there and you get into top eight, and I match up against Sean, who I, swept earlier in Swiss, and then he sweeps me 2-0. And it's like, you sit there and it's like, all right, happens. Of course, the first time you're frustrated, it's like, man, this should have been mine. All of top eight, it's like there's four Boba Yellows. I'm playing a deck that's great against them. It should be it. And then it's not. And you have to sit there and you feel sad and you keep pushing on. Keep pushing forward, keep, grasping at it. Eventually I get it, The euphoria, eventually winning a showdown,
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm still chasing that dragon. I've gotten finalists a couple times. I've gotten top four, but I'm still chasing that championship. So I can definitely empathize with how you're feeling at that point. I didn't realize you went through so many store showdowns back in set one. That's a lot, 10 or whatever. So I think I did maybe half of that. But maybe in the future, I'll set that out. Okay. So I know we're it's late in the evening. It's Monday, so I don't want to take too much more of your time. I do have one, maybe one or two more questions. And really, it's just like if so, Padawan Limited is all about learning about the game. It's really tailored towards new players and stuff, and just growing that community. What would you tell? What kind of advice, if you had any, would you give a relatively new player, that could help them like up their game, like what like or enjoy the game more? Is there anything that any kind of like advice, sage wisdom that you would want to
Well,
share with them?
those are two different, avenues, enjoying the game and, doing better.
That's fair. So
If you
let's
want to
go with
enjoy
let's.
the game,
Let's go with let's do both real quickly, I guess. So enjoying the game one, and then we'll go on to like being better.
enjoying the game is just, don't put pressure on yourself like the stuff I do, where you're like, I gotta win a PQ, don't do that. It doesn't make it enjoyable. You're just sitting there stressed all day, every week you gotta play an event, you're stressed, just go to an event, and play. Whether you win or lose, you go and you're having fun. You can play some off the wall sort of thing, and you find the joy in the moments where you sit down, your opponent's shoveling up, Sabine ECL, and then you pull out, Jabba, yellow, and it's like you guys go like, what is this? And you get that like little like spark of joy. That's the kind of things you can do where you're enjoying it. But of course there's also, the joy of coming at the end of competitively, where you get in to win the event, but that comes with a lot of struggle, a lot of it's a lot more. So if you're not, okay with, having those ups and downs, then, it may not be the best to try to do it competitively. But competitive is fun, you learn and you build. And for the other side, to how to be better and how to learn, there's like two things that I think, everyone tells everyone to do, or at least, I always see and the things that I kind of do the same. One of them is how I do deck choice. I have someone that's very new to the game. He's never played a training guard game before, and he takes the deck and he's sitting there and he will constantly ask me questions about like, should I try this card? 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 Over and over again. It just changes the list constantly, endlessly, and it just doesn't stop, which is fun. It's fine. It's fun. He's enjoying it. From a competitive standpoint, I would not even think about changing a card in my deck until I've played a, 10, 20, 30, games with it, events. Like I go, I find someone that's played those games, I take their list, whether I have complaints or not about their card choices, I play their list and I see, and I play it. And then once I get a whole bunch of games on it, I understand how the deck works, how it does into different people, then I'm confident making the choice like this card in here, I don't like it. I want to try something else differently. That's what I'll always suggest. Net decking is a valid tool. You don't have to just always net deck. You can do it, and then once you gain the confidence, then you tune it to what it fits your needs.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
then, secondly is, a very it's a harder thing to do. It's a lot easier with, if you do like Karabass and stuff, is, you play the games. I'm sitting there and mentally I'm thinking of my actions. Could I have done it differently? Can I do it differently in the future? For someone that's new, it's hard to do. So a classic thing that people tell is record your games. Get a simple like, OBS or some setup, record your Karabass games.
Yeah.
You win or lose, you can sit there and look like how many op what choice did I make here? And you just look down the line like, did that have a choice, have an option? Did it present, positive results or negative results? And you can
Yeah.
hopefully then build the idea of, all right, well, here's the line I need to take to, get to the end of this maze,
Okay. Yeah, no, that's great advice. I know I still need to, I should listen to that as well. So I appreciate that. Okay, so that's it. Tyler, again, thank you so much for your time this evening. This was a great conversation. I really appreciate it. To everyone else out there, I hope you learned something. If you have any comments, questions, concerns for me, Tyler, or McClunky Gaming, our competitive team, please let me know. Email me at gil@padawanlimited.com or something in the show notes, and we'll get back to you. And until next time, may the force be with you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a night. Good night, everyone.
Night.